In Florida, accused Fort Lauderdale airport shooter Esteban Santiago was in court today. The 26-year-old Iraq War veteran is charged with shooting to death five and wounding six people at Fort Lauderdale International Airport on Friday, the same day he flew one way from Anchorage, Alaska to Florida, checking only his gun. But in November, Santiago walked into the FBI office in Anchorage complaining of hearing voices and having terrorist thoughts. At that time, police took his gun away. So how did he get that gun back a month later, in December? Megan Omatz is an investigative reporter for the South Florida Sun-Sentinel. Megan, Anchorage police took Santiago's gun from his car when he was at the FBI, correct?
Yes, they did. They took it from him and they held it for about a month. During that time, the police took him to a hospital for a mental health evaluation where we understand he stayed for only a few days and, according to the family, left without any kind of medication or follow-up appointments. As far as we know, he was not adjudicated or committed to a mental health hospital by a judge, and that usually happens after a brief stay in a hospital, as much as 72 hours. To hold someone longer, you need to go before a judge. And we do not believe that happened. If he had gone before a judge, then there would have been a record and more of a case to withhold his a gun from him.
Well, here's where it gets tricky, because there are different laws state to state. We'll talk about that. But under the Federal Gun Control Act, this is the federal law. There's a difference between voluntarily walking in and complaining of voices or ISIS and being involuntarily committed, as you say, adjudicated by a court. We're understanding that because he voluntarily walked in, there is no federal gun law that would cover his having a gun withheld from him.
No, that's right, exactly. That this is a loophole, if you will, and it doesn't make much common sense if, a doctor and all believes that you are sick and should not have a gun, then, you should be able, there should be a mechanism to withhold that from you. And our sheriff here in Broward County is calling for that kind of reform.
But so far, from the reporting that we know, all of this was voluntary. You know, he brought himself in, whether or not police then escorted him to the hospital. He brought himself in. But there's also another place in the story where people are looking closely. He had a history of domestic disturbances and other arrests, but no convictions. And without a conviction, police also in Anchorage were not able to keep him from getting a gun.
Exactly. And I understand that in Alaska, the state does not have laws prohibiting gun ownership, that they rely on federal laws. If he had a restraining order in which the court said you can't own a gun, that would be one thing. But here, there was no conviction on his record for domestic violence. The police had been to his home. He was arrested at some point for criminal mischief, but that was not a domestic violence charge, as far as we can tell, and it did not result in a conviction.
There are other.
So it does, again, not make common sense. There can be all this activity in his background, and yet he's still able to not only have a gun, but get it returned to him.
There are other places where people are looking to maybe fortify, including that he bought a one-way ticket from Alaska to Fort Lauderdale and had no baggage, practically no carry-on, just one checked gun. It is legal to check a gun, but people are wondering why alarms didn't go off that is all he had, a checked gun going from Alaska to Florida. But meanwhile, Puerto Rico Senator Nelson Cruz told you that he blames the fact that there was not enough health care for this veteran in Puerto Rico. He actually left Puerto Rico to try to get mental health care?
That's what the senator says, who is very close with the family. And as far as we understand it, they have one VA hospital there and that there can be long waits for help and just difficulty in accessing care, including mental health care. Now, was that the sole reason he went to Alaska? I don't think so. I doubt that. We've heard that he had a brother or a cousin or someone in Alaska, which would make sense. But certainly it sounds like he was having trouble accessing care there in Puerto Rico and wanted to come to the continental U.S.
Yeah. Well, back to the original question, how could somebody, walk into an FBI office and complain of hearing voices from ISIS and then a month later get their gun back? Well, again, it was because they were volunteering this information and volunteering to go for mental health care. Maryland has also expanded their law so that voluntary commitment means you cannot have a gun Do you expect this to be a bigger debate?
Yes, I certainly do. Our Congresswoman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, is expected to bring this issue up in Washington, and so is our sheriff. He's very concerned about mentally ill people having access to guns. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of this in the coming weeks.
Megan Omatz, investigative reporter for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Megan, thank you.
You're welcome.